The post-9/11 years have brought us the longest period of sustained warfare in our nation's history. We have met this unprecedented challenge with a small cadre of citizens who charged forth to serve so that the rest of us could go on with life as usual. We have asked so much of them and their families. The multiple year-long deployments that many uncomplainingly fulfilled often amounted to more time on the battlefield than their parents faced in Vietnam or their grandparents confronted in World War II. They missed birthdays and graduations, dance recitals, and Little League games. Many spent their tours in Iraq and Afghanistan under the constant threat of getting blown up. And yet we have sacrificed so little. In non-military families, fathers could play catch with their sons, and wives could dine with their husbands whenever they wanted. Mothers didn't have to spend sleepless nights wondering if their children in uniform would return home alive. For too long, too many of us have paid scant attention to the commitment of a brave few in our midst. It is unhealthy for a nation to become detached from those who secure it. Our volunteers have given the rest of us a remarkable freedom, but that freedom comes with the responsibility to understand their sacrifice, to honor them, to appreciate what they can offer when they return home, to care for those who are wounded, and to mourn those who have given us their last full measure of devotion. As the war in Afghanistan winds down, it is tempting to see this as a moot issue. It is not. Our nation will continue to send men and women into harm's way for years to come, albeit in smaller tranches, as extremists bent on attacking the United States and our citizens abroad find safe haven in lawless parts of the Middle East and Africa. But the next phase of our wars is shifting to the home front. More than 1.5 million post-9/11 veterans have already taken off their uniforms and entered the civilian world. Another million will be following them in the next few years as enlistments end and budget cuts shrink our military. They deserve to enter a society that welcomes them with an appreciation and understanding of their sacrifice. If you are among those Americans with no direct connection to someone who has served in Iraq or Afghanistan, you can start to learn about those who safeguard us. If you encounter a veteran, say something more than, "Thank you for your service." Ask a thoughtful question or two, and listen to his or her story. Many veterans are eager to explain how they served and what they're doing now. Meet their spouses and discover how strong and resilient they are. Not all veterans will want to discuss their combat experiences. If they're reticent, don't push them. Our veterans aren't yearning for a ticker tape parade. They just want their fellow citizens to care about what they did. The landmark Washington Post Kaiser poll of post-9/11 veterans found that 4 in 10 of them feel civilians are just saying what people want to hear when they express their appreciation. In part, that's because the public expressions of thanks have become rote. Our interest in our veterans must be genuine, and so should our gratitude. If listening and learning motivate you to take action, seek out a veterans organization in your community. If you emerge impressed, volunteer your time or offer a modest donation, or attend one of their events, show up at the barbecue or the pancake breakfast. Meaningful engagement doesn't require lots of time or money. If you are an employer, give veterans a fair shake. They don't want your pity or a handout. What they deserve, however, is genuine understanding and appreciation of the skills they've gleaned. Serving in the military qualifies one to be more than a security guard. Veterans come with a can-do spirit. Many possess leadership skills and decision-making experience that exceed that of civilians 2 decades their senior. They know how to follow orders, but also how to exercise initiative. Hiring veterans isn't charity, it's good business. If you are an elected official, forego partisan bickering on veterans' issues. These men and women need our nation's leaders to come together, regardless of political stripe, and fulfill our obligations to them. They deserve a Congress that can find common ground on veterans' issues and craft productive legislation. They deserve a Department of Veterans Affairs that promptly and courteously provides them with top-quality health care and supplies compensation for injuries without delay. If you're a veteran, don't underestimate yourself, and don't give up when you encounter obstacles along the way. As many of you know, and others will soon discover, the transition into civilian life isn't easy. Unlike the Greatest Generation, which entered an American economy with plenty of manufacturing jobs, the opportunities that await you require education and specialized skills. Avail yourself of the post-9/11 GI Bill benefits, the most generous federal education support for veterans in our nation's history, and follow the example of Kyle White, not what he did on the hills of eastern Afghanistan, but after he got out of the Army. Instead of using his GI Bill to take easy classes in college, he challenged himself by taking math courses so he could graduate with a degree in business administration. Now he has a good-paying job as an investment analyst. "I couldn't rest on what I did out there on the mountain," he said. "We veterans have been given great opportunities. We just have to seize them."